Well, I'm so glad to see you all at the house of the Lord tonight in the cold air. And I think it's just a beautiful, beautiful winter. We're not shoveling snow. Not fighting snow plows and holes in the road and all that kind of stuff. I just think we don't have the rain and stuff everybody else is having and all the flooding. Our houses haven't blown away. So it's a wonderful time, isn't it? Yeah, we got a roof over our head, food in our belly, joy in our spirit, right? A lot of joy, right? I don't know about you, but I just feel there's just a bubbling of joy constantly. And this is where God wants his people to be. He wants us to be full of the joy. So if you don't have joy, get joy tonight. Tell that devil whatever it is that's holding the joy back, he's got to go. And you have the joy of the Lord and you're going to keep it. Am I keeping you up? I just had to say that, Sister Nancy. She's worked hard all day. Amen. Do you know that Jesus loves us all? I just love the fact that he's sitting up in heaven looking down upon us and just marveling at how wonderful we are. How perfect we are. And how secure we are in his arms, right? That even though, excuse me, he knows and we know we're not perfect, we're still following him. I was just reading, I glanced over a prophetic word today where they said that God took them in a vision and they saw where hundreds of people were losing their mantles. And the angels were sent down to her, quickly gather up the mantles and give them to other people. Don't be one of those who lose your mantle. Don't be one of those that's in the vision God gave me where these souls are laying on both sides of the road. And when I asked him what it was, he said, these are the people that fell along the way. He said, don't you ever be one of those. Don't be one of those that fall. It doesn't matter what besets you. Keep going. God's in control. I'm hearing God say, I'm putting the wind in your sail. So God has you is what he's saying. Amen. And when you feel like there is no wind in your sail, just say, blow harder, Lord. Amen. You know, and just let him go and take us onto that journey where he wants us to go. This is important. I'm just hearing him say this is an important time in the body of Christ. It's a time when we can't give up. We can't lag behind. But we have to be right where he's at all times. Amen. Well, Father, I surely do thank you for just being here tonight. I just feel an expectancy in the air. I know, Father God, that you and your angelic host are about your business, and we're about ready to see the great move of your works that you talked about for so long. And, Father, we thank you for it, and we trust you, we believe it, and we just know that we know that we know, Father God, that our time is coming. Our time is here when that great glory drop is going to fall. And we're going to see the marvelous works that you've been talking about in your word. And Father, I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm not even talking about the marvelous works that we're hearing prophets saying, because some of it can be twisted. I just thank God for the marvelous works he talks about in his word. Because everything he says is coming to pass in his word. You know, just not by what the prophets are saying. And if we just stick with the word, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Tonight I want to talk to you about something that Bill Burns talked about, because I think it's just so awesome. And I know that if I pulled together a prophetic word God gave to me, this would be it. So let's just, he has this all compiled. He did all the work, so let's just go ahead and read this, all right? God says, you are entering into a season of light. The light that brings revelation and reveals my presence is upon you. You are entering into a season of light. The light that brings revelation and reveals my presence is upon you. Even though darkness is increasing on earth, my glory shall rest upon those who are mine, says the Lord. You shall begin to shine forth in my kingdom, so be filled with joy, for it is the season to do so. Isaiah 61:2 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, past tense, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. There it is in a nutshell. This is where we're at. The glory's already here. It's not. I didn't say it was here in its fullness, but the glory's already here. God's been performing one miracle after another. So why are we not happy? Why are we not full of joy? And God says, why are you not full of expectancy? You should be expecting each day to be greater than the day you went out of. Amen. For some, that would be you had a really bad day, so the next day has to be better, right? And if you had a really good day, then the next day is even going to be greater than the day you just came out of. And this is the way God wants us to be living our life right now. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing Him say. This scripture is spoken prophetically in Isaiah 20:11-12, where the Lord asks a question of the prophets. Watchmen, what of the night darkness? The watchman says, the morning light comes in the darkness, which is night. All right, so God's asking the prophets here, what of the night? What of the darkness? And the prophets, the watchmen or prophets say, the morning light. I'm sorry, the morning comes in the darkness, which is night. So in other words, God's been telling us that His light, He's going to use us as vessels of light that are going to shine through the gross darkness that's coming upon the earth. And the darkness is already here, so why are we not being lights? Why is our lights not shining like never before? Ask yourself that. Why is it that my light doesn't penetrate the darkness when I walk into a room? You know? You don't have to, I'm just hearing Him say, the radiance of my sun should be shining forth from you at all times. Doesn't matter what we're going through, the radiance of His sun should be shining forth from us at all times. And then to the prophets, the Lord says, return to me, come back to your calling, and then inquire of me, ask and it, my word shall be given. He's talking to the prophets. And then to the prophets, the Lord says, return to me, come back to your calling, and then inquire of me, ask, and yet my word shall be given. See, the prophets have really, if you don't realize it, have wandered astray. They are not where they should be in their walk with the Father. And the Father says here in Isaiah 21:11-12, come back to me. And then talk to me, and I'm going to give you the word that I'm going to give to the people. We've gotten so far off course that He's saying our minds have wandered hither and thither, and it's not on Him. It's not on what He really wants to say. It's on what are you going to do with me? Where are you taking me? How long is this going to take? And He's saying all this is taking up. It's nonsense time that you're wasting. He just wants you to be inquiring of Him. What would you have me tell the body? And you know, and I'm saying, and if you, well, I guess I'm hearing this. So and if you do this, well, then life, your life will change because your life will no longer be wrapped around yourself, but it would be wrapped around my voice and you'll be able to hear me very clearly. All right. So in other words, He's saying, just quit thinking about what's going on in my life and just let that all go and start concentrating on His voice. Because He did tell us that. I remember that He told us we must listen every day for His voice and listen because it's going to be sometimes a still, small voice. And if you have a lot of clutter in your mind, it's just going to shut out that still, small voice of God. The light that is coming will come with a prophetic word that is pure. Are you hearing that, prophets? The light that is coming will come with a prophetic word that is pure. 2 Peter 1:19-21 said, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. There's too many prophets being moved by their self or by the circumstances around about them, and it's not the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And I would like to speak to the prophets in here. If God's not speaking, He's just not speaking. And you need not be concerned about that. I was reading another article the other day where this woman said that she went into a time where God just didn't. He spoke to her personally. and we give her a word or two for people. But he wasn't speaking to her about the nations, about the world and as whole, and that really bothered her. But it was what she called a dry season. And I said, well, praise God. God takes us all through the dry seasons. So we can't conjure up something. All right, so you might pray and say, God, who's going to be the next president? Just like I did about a month ago. Well, he said absolutely nothing. So I'm thinking, I'm trying to get Clinton or whoever they were. And I thought, this is dumb. I said, I'm sorry, Father. When you're ready to tell me, you're going to tell me, because he always tells me. And so, see, we can't try to think of what he might be wanting to say. If he isn't speaking, he just isn't speaking. So we just be quiet. Are you listening? All right, then, the light that guides us in the darkness that is all around us will be given to us by the Lord. God is going to give us the right word, which will be the light in a dark, dark place to say at the right and perfect time. Revelation 2:28, I will give him the morning star, which is prophetic light. All right, the signs of confirmation. On June the 30th of 2015... Hurry up, because you want to hear this. Take that. Is the light still out up there? Oh, he's trying to rectify what they did. The owner of the building found an old wire and he thought it was no good, so they yanked it out. So it took out half of our lights. So now they're all trying to figure out how to fix it. On June 30th of 2015, the star Bethlehem was visible. Did you know that? I didn't know that. So on June the 30th of 2015, the star Bethlehem was visible. It was over 2,000 years ago that it was first seen. In Matthew 2:2, the wise men said, we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. A couple years ago, God told me, keep looking to the east. And so I just keep listening to what he's telling me about that. And number two, the Christmas moon. A full moon on December 25th is a sign of the light of this season. The moon is a symbol of the church, which is a reflected light of the sun in Malachi 4:2. But let's read that again. The Christmas moon, a full moon on December 25th is a sign of the light of this season. There was a full moon on the 25th of December. The moon is a symbol of the church, which is the reflected light of the sun. In Malachi 4:1-6 says, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud say yes. All who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. And Bill Burns was referring to verse 2, says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. So we're going to be fat and sassy. Amen. Come on. Isn't that what that just said? You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. So doesn't that excite you? You're going to step on the enemy. Number 4, verse 4, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Oreb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. You know, and I was reading that scripture, I thought, I said, God, I just hope that this is the year that you do turn the parents to their children and children back to their parents, because such a division in family, such a division. The purpose of the light is to enable us to see clearly, to know God's presence, and to receive revelation, which is understanding and inspiration, and to reveal destiny. The purpose of the light is to enable us to see clearly. And the body of Christ isn't seeing very clearly right now. They don't understand what's going on. And a lot of the body of Christ are departing. Did you read about that their singer, Christian singer, who's been a singer for years and years and years, and all of a sudden he denounced Christ because he got to read the Bible? Or I really think somebody pointed this out to him and wanted to get him to denounce Christ, but he said he doesn't want to serve a God who kills all these people and does all that kind of stuff like he did in the Bible. He said that isn't the type of person that he wants to serve. So he denounced Christ. I forgot what his name was. But he was a great singer in one of the churches. I think that's sad. I mean, I was saying, well, don't you wonder, as I was reading the article, don't you understand how many people Satan kills every day? Look at the wars and look at the bombs and everything Satan's setting off. Yet he left Christ because he got to reading about, now, I forgot how long he's been saved, but it was years and years. Now, if he was saved all those years, he knew the stories in the Bible, so somebody had to go to him and say, look at all the people that God killed. Now, what kind of God is that? I've even had people say that to me. But, Satan kills more than God ever thought of. So please don't let that enter into your mind. Don't do what this singer did. He was a rock star, a Christian rock star. So Satan has been hindering our ability to see clearly. That's what I was getting at. The Lord says that the enemy has been bringing a spiritual fog into your spiritual atmosphere. This has caused you to be unable to see clearly. It has created doubt around the things that you are making decisions for. It has caused you to be unclear about that which you are to pray and that which you are to do. And Bill Burns said, this is what God has said. Let's read that again. The Lord says that the enemy has been bringing a spiritual fog into your spiritual atmosphere. This has caused you to be unable to see clearly. It has created doubt around the things that you are making decisions for. It has caused you to be unclear about that which you are to pray and that which you are to do. Now, if you know that God's speaking to your heart, then why are you all confused about it? If he's speaking to you and telling you to do something. So I would say this is that spiritual fog that's in the spiritual atmosphere that's not allowing you to see and think clearly. But the Lord says, watch now, for I bring my wind, and I will remove the fog which has encased you. I will remove from you the obstruction that has kept you from seeing clearly. You are now entering into the season of light, and the glory of this season shall come with great clarity. Great purpose of mine and the greatness of strength of the anointing of my spirit. Expect me to clear the atmosphere that has hindered you so that you may see clearly all things, says the Almighty. So don't get discouraged because God said here he's bringing his wind now and he's going to blow away that fog and you'll be able to see things the way you should see them. And I'm hearing God say you will perceive them in the right perspective, whereas before you didn't. All right, so God's getting ready. God, he's probably already doing that right now. All right, he said healing and provision will come with the light of the season. Healing and provision will come with the light of the season. Then he went and Bill put it down, some of his wife's prophetic words. She said, in a vision, I saw a very great multitude of broken people, and I could feel God's work of repairing and bringing to perfection each individual who asked him for help. But you're going to have to ask God to help you. It was a deep spiritual work for everyone who made an effort to come into his presence and extend even the smallest amount of faith. It was a profound and abiding work. It was powerful. Luke 11:10 says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Then he put another one of her words in here. For those of you who have been absolutely obedient to do all that I have asked of you in recent days and weeks, I am coming to you to reward you. I will open the heavens and pour out my glory upon you in ways that you would never have considered, says the Lord. Watch and be amazed. All right. See, don't shortchange God. Don't put him in a box. Let him do what he wants to do in your life the way he wants to do it and not the way you're expecting him to do it. And please don't tell him how to do his job. All right. Don't do that. Isaiah 40:10, behold, I've done that and it's got me in trouble. That's why I'm telling you not to do that. Isaiah 40:10 says, behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And John 3:2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, if God is providing the light for us in this season, then we must walk in His light if we are to receive the blessings of the season. Read that again. You need to get this in your spirit tonight. If God is providing the light for us in this season, then we must walk in His light if we are to receive the blessings of the season. 1 John 5-7. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the enemy keeps, if you're really doing what the Word says here, and the enemy keeps coming to you with your sins, just tell him to get lost. Because what did this say? It cleanses us from all sin, not just one or two, but all sin. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then Bill Burns goes on to say, we must also wear the armor of the season. Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. let us put on the armor of light. We're supposed to be light and not darkness. Fight the good fight, knowing that the enemy will be revealed by the light. God is going to come forth and He's going to reveal who we truly are in Him to those around about us who are doubting and coming against us. It's going to be by the light. And we must watch. 1 Thessalonians 5:5-6, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. In other words, stay on the path of righteousness. Don't go out there into sin. Ephesians 5:13-14, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, He says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And remember, this is a season of light. The new anointing for this season is strength for victory. Remember one night in here, God told you to come up. He wanted to give you an anointing for strength for victory. The new anointing for this season is strength for victory. This anointing will bring the power required for breakthrough and victory. And that's exactly what God told us that night when we came up and He gave us that anointing. God is wonderful. He knows exactly what He's doing with His people. And whether you realize or not, each time, each service that you come up here, when God tells you what He wants to do, He is doing that work within you and He is changing you. And I'm hearing Him saying He's modifying you so that you're custom made by Him. Amen. Thought that was neat. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. This new season is bringing a new anointing that will create the next phase of existence. This new season is bringing a new anointing that will create the next phase of existence. Then he puts another one of his wife's words in there. You are about to enter a new phase of existence, but there are things that need to be finished before you can forge ahead. Make the best use of your time and opportunities to deal with issues that would hinder you in the future, says the Lord. I will give you discernment, wisdom, and guidance to do all that is necessary. Isaiah 45:2. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. So here, if God is dealing with you about issues in your life, let Him deal with them. Let Him pull them out there in the open and let Him get rid of them. Because you can't go into the next season or the next phase of what God's calling you into with this junk in you. And that's why God's bringing it forth. This anointing will change the spiritual atmosphere that we live in. This anointing you're going to carry. Doubt and fear will not be able to hinder the new level of faith that this anointing will bring. And when I was reading that, I thought about Paul, how his faith was so strong. that nothing could deter him from what God was calling him forth to do. And that's what God's doing with us. Our faith is going to be so strong that the enemy won't be able to stop us at any turn. All right? Divine order. The process of divine order will continue the progression of God's purposes among his people. The process of divine order will continue the progression of God's purposes among his people. We find ourselves continuing to be ordered by God so that we can fulfill our destiny for such a time as this. See, make sure that you're allowing God to have full and complete control over your life, because he wants to bring divine order into our lives so that we will only follow what God's telling us to do, and we won't lag behind it, and we won't want to do what we want to do. People want to walk in that divine order that God is taking us into. See, too many Christians want to do their own thing their own way. I'm talking about leaders. Okay? Most of you are leaders. They want to do their own thing their own way because they think God's too slow, or God doesn't know what he's doing, or God just doesn't understand. Well, all that's negative. All that's wrong. You know, if God called you, then he's ordering your footsteps. He's the one that's leading, guiding, and directing you. And God's saying you're about to enter into the one of the greatest fulfillments of your life in Christian history. You're about to enter into a place and a phase that no one else has ever entered into. So you're going to have to know that I am the one that's leading, guiding, and directing you, and not yourself and not another man or woman. I am bringing you into divine order. I am bringing you into divine alignment with my plans for your life. All right? It's God that's ordering your footsteps. He just said that too. It's God that's ordering your footsteps, not yourself or not man or woman. So don't be concerned about what others are saying about you. You do what God's telling you to do. You make sure it's God's voice first and not yours again. And then just go ahead and do what God's telling you. And he's telling me, a lot of you in here tonight, you're going to find yourself being issued warrants to move out. That you've overstayed your welcome. In other words, you're in places God doesn't want you to be. And he's going to say, come on now, I want to move you. I want to move you. And he said, you're going to be a history maker. I want to move you where others have not heard the words that you've heard. And I'm going to use you as vessels of honor just so I can speak through you to allow others to know what you know. So, you know, don't be content in a mundane world or a mundane place, but just let me move you higher and let me take you to greater grounds and greater heights in me. All right? And he's also saying that some of you in here, you just don't understand the completeness of what I'm doing in your life. You don't understand the importance of where I'm taking you to in my kingdom. But you must understand tonight that there is a divine order. And I have ordered your footsteps. It's been line upon line and precept upon precept. And he's saying, you know, so I've asked you to do this here and do that there. But now it's going to be step by step by step by step. And you'll see that there is a divine order in what I'm calling you forth to do. It won't be a little bit here and a little bit there, but it'll be a complete picture. And you'll understand all things finally. And I know that we're all in the same boat, wondering, God, what are you doing? You know, you just don't understand. But God's taken us into a divine order now. All right, then Marsha Burns says, is that where I'm at? If you are to live in my spirit and establish yourself in divine order, you must do all that I ask, says the Lord. Now, remember that. You have to do all that he asks. You, my people, have come a long way, but you must push through until your obedience is fulfilled. Don't stop short of your goal, but rather push through to complete freedom from all that holds you back. And you know, you all know that there's been things coming against you to try to hold you back from fulfilling the things and being obedient to what God's calling you to do. We all know that. And you've had to push and push and push and fight and war and go on to finally you found the breakthrough to get through that hindrance that Satan set before you. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run in such a way that you may obtain the goal that God's taken you into. You can't do things like you used to do. God's saying, some of you in here think you can still stay in the same. What you're doing is not bad, but it's not what I want in this season. This is a brand new thing, a brand new season, and so you're going to have to move when I move and speak when I speak and sit when I say sit. No? You're no longer your own. I'm now the one that's leading God and directing every footstep that you make. And God said, in the past I allowed you to step here and step there, but now I'm saying, stop that. And what I saw when I said it was you were stepping in horse manure. And so, and it was getting you in trouble. And I'm saying I'm a you too, you know. So it's all of us, we're doing it. Now he said, you can't do that no more. You have to just walk, do exactly what he's telling you to do. The end times. I believe that, I believe that we are living in the end times, or in the words of our Lord in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even to the end of this age, of the age. And the Apostle Paul referred to these days in 2 Timothy 3:11, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. You know, everybody's trying to say when Jesus Christ is going to return, and the Bible is very, very plain on that. Nobody knows but the Father. Jesus himself doesn't know. And when you think about when God prophesied to the prophets that the Messiah was coming, it took 400 years. And so this scripture here was written, over 2,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, and it still hasn't happened, but it still is true. All right? So don't run around here thinking, well, when I first got saved, you know, I went and dropped all my insurance policy and did all that kind of stuff, you know, because I just knew Jesus was coming right now today, you know? So don't do that kind of stuff. God said you have to go on with life. You know, I dropped out of college and I had to do that stuff over again. I had to get back into college, get all my paperwork back in line. So I'm going to tell you, don't do that. He said, you have to go on living, and, you know, and just one day, you know, it's going to happen. And he's not going to tell you when. So the Apostle Paul referred to these days in 2 Timothy 3:1, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And perilous times are here. And they're going to get worse. But if you look back in history, perilous times were before too. Right? So, well, they say history does repeat itself. In these last days, Satan will continue to promote fear and unbelief as they relate to the current events. Events such as terrorism, civil unrest, adverse weather, and economic decline. Satan's always been doing that forever. Ever since. And he's going to continue to do that. And so we as Christians, we need, what's this article all about? Light. We as Christians, we're light. We're not going to give into this kind of stuff. We're not going to give into this doubt and the fear and the unbelief. Because God has promised us if we will walk so close to him that nothing can come between him and I, he would take care of us in these times when never nobody else had anything. Well, I'm hearing him say of great lack. He would take care of us. Amen. He'll probably put some of us on a 40-day fast so we lose our weight, and then he'll gradually make us eat better. But he's going to take care of us is what I'm getting at. Amen. So don't be worried. Oh, I'm going to starve to death. No, you won't. Your body has a lot of fat stored up in there, and you won't starve to death. And by the time that's all gone, then he'll give you like the widow with the oil, you know. He will provide for you. I want you to really get that in your spirit. He is going to provide for you because he promised that. He didn't promise that 2,000, well, he did in his word, but he spoke that recently, you know, to the body of Christ last couple of years, that even though all this dark stuff is going to come, I will take care of my own. Now, are you God's? If you're God's and you have no fear, you will have no lack, you won't have nothing. You'll just trust God and just go on like nothing's going on. Amen. However, we must realize that God has provided the antidote for overcoming Satan's activity. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you're walking in fear, you need to get that spirit out of you, because it's going to take over whenever the bad things really start happening. Ephesians 3:12, in Jesus we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So at home you can read Hebrews chapter 11 and renew your position of faith. That's a faith chapter. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that has overcome the world, which is our faith. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, which is our faith. Meditate on and apply these scriptures to your circumstances, and you will be victorious. Judgment will continue to manifest because of the unrighteous decrees which governments make. Isaiah 10:1 says, woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune which they have prescribed. Let's talk about God's provision. God is now bringing bringing his wind to remove the fog which has kept you from seeing clearly. This will continue into the spring of the year, and then he will bring his spiritual rain to wash away the dust defilement left by Satan's attacks. So God is now bringing his wind to remove the fog which has kept you from seeing clearly. This will continue into the spring of the year, and then he will bring his spiritual rain to wash away the dust which is defilement left by Satan's attacks. You know, sometimes we're going through life, we think if we're just fine, everything's just rosy, and all of a sudden some prophet goes up and says, this is what God said you're doing, and you say, what? See, that was that spiritual fog not allowing you to see what was really going on in your life. But God, now, I really believe with this wind that he's blowing, is he's doing that through his prophets to come to you and say, you know, this is where you're at, and now let God take care of it. Amen? You know, if you're not checking your own self constantly, daily, you know, the enemy slips in there. And he'll make you believe you're something you're not. Or he'll make you believe you're doing right when you're not. And then whenever God tells you you're not doing right, you say, what? You know, Sister Nancy, I think she was her, sent me, no, Kathy Walter sent me this picture of this big hound dog. And he said, and the Holy Spirit's going to do what? You know, this is the way we get sometimes, because we just know that we know we're walking fine. And then all of a sudden somebody walks up to you and says, hey, hello. The light has come. Yeah. So receive that when it comes. And, you know, you take it to the Father and say, Father, if this is true, then show it to me, you know, and help me, you know, get through this time of spiritual fog. Zechariah 10:1 says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Acts 14:17, nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Ask, and then we're talking about God's provision there. Ask for God's rain because his blessing will come with it. Your new season will be filled with fruitfulness, which is blessings. And that's all we're hearing is all the prophets saying, this is year of blessing, 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 blessing. And I believe that, because God's told me too. And, you know, this is the year of Jubilee, the true year of Jubilee. And I believe that too. And I believe that everything is going to be returned back to us. Everything that Satan has stolen from it is going to return back to us. And see, if you don't believe that, then you're not going to receive. You can't receive if you don't believe something. But, I mean, this is not something I'm making up. I know. You know, God's been saying over the years, this is Jubilee, this year Jubilee. And then I said, God, you know what? Everybody said this year of Jubilee and we're still in such a mess. He said, your year of Jubilee is when you can believe for it. But this is the true Jewish New Year, Jubilee year. And so I'm believing that this is a year that God is going to give us. Well, God's saying again, where's your expectancy? If you expect me to move in this true Jubilee year, then you will receive all that the Palmer and Cane worm has stolen. It will all be given back to you. All right, conclusion, he says. This season will bring opportunities to grow spiritually as a Christian. The Lord will be with you to lead and guide you through these tumultuous times. You will be changed by the glory of the one who will be with you. You know, how many of you read the Bible and you think you just know that? I mean, you just know it. And then all of a sudden you read it again and then, oh, I didn't see that there the first time I read it. Have you ever done that? You know, just one little word changes that whole thing you was reading. And lately, I've been doing a lot of that. I didn't see that there. Gosh, that makes it even better than it was before. Amen? These people keep reading the Bible through every year. Are they really reading it or are they skimming it? You know? You know, I'm not saying you can't read it through. I'm saying when you're reading it through every year, are you really reading it? Are you really gleaning the truth from it? Are you really allowing God to show you what is really there, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you aren't reading it. I'm just saying, are you really grasping hold of every truth that's in the Bible? 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The new season has begun, Bill Burns saying, God told him. You will not be disappointed if you choose to take the spiritual journey in 2016. Now, are you all ready to really change the way you've been thinking, the way you've been acting, the things you've been doing? Because God said what we're entering into is something brand new. So that means that what we used to do, we will no longer do. Right? Because God is doing a brand new thing. And I'm hearing him saying, I wish to bring change into everybody's life, but not everybody is willing to receive the change because they think they know it and they have it and they don't. See, this is what I'm picking up. But what we used to do was good and it was right, but now God is wanting to take us to a higher realm. And in this higher realm, there's new things that he wants to reveal to us. Didn't he tell us that he was going to, in this season, he was going to take us into heaven many times and give us words and revelation, then we were going to come back down and give it to the body? Isn't that what he's been telling us? See, this is a new thing that God wants to do. And this is why he's been having us for how many years now keep talking about being transported or going, just walking back and forth to heaven anytime we feel like it. Some people are doing that now. And I said, why can't we? We weren't ready yet for that. But God's been training us and getting us ready to take these journeys to heaven anytime we want to go. He has to be able to trust us, first of all, with what he shows us, all right? He has to make sure we're not going to get prideful and do dumb things with it. He had to make sure that we was emptied out of pride, walking in humility, and then he's going to let us take those little trips to heaven, which I think they're going to be great big trips. I don't know why I said little. And he's going to reveal heaven to us, and we're going to bring it back here to earth. Now, are you really ready to have that kind of an adventure with the Father? You know, he's saying you can't have an adventure sticking your nose to the grindstone. He says you have to be free-spirited with me. Your spirit has to be free to travel anytime I want it to travel. In other words, when God wants to say, okay, come on to heaven, you know, your spirit man has to be ready. You have to be ready. You have to be ready to let your spirit man go. All right? And see, when we get into a spirit of religion won't let you go. Religion will sit and try to reason things out, but then the Holy Spirit's going on to somebody else. Now, you have to be in a place and in a time and a season where God can just speak to you and say, come on, I want you to come up hither. And you just go because you're already expecting God to do that to you. And you're waiting for every day, you're waiting for any second for God to speak to you. And you're ready to go. Just leaving the baby lay in the crib and, you know, and let the food burn in the stove and just go and sit with the Father. You hear what I'm saying? Just, you know, you're just going to have to be free. If you're sitting at your desk at work, say, well, I'm out of here for a few minutes, you know. You know, you say that to yourself and then just let God go ahead and come and take you. Are you listening here? This is where we're at. I didn't know that till tonight, and I'm excited. I didn't know that till tonight. You know, so God's revealing this to me as he's revealing it to you. So are you ready now to go on that spiritual journey that he's been telling us about for a couple years now? If you are, then God's going to start visiting you. And he's going to start taking you on these journeys. And are you ready to go? You know, I mean, I know some of you are because, you know, a lot of people say, yeah, with their lips. And I'm not saying you are, but other people, you know, are saying, yeah, from the spirit man, he's excited. The spirit man's excited. And he said, I'm ready to go. I want to get out of this mundane body of yours and I want to go back up and visit the heavenly places. Remember when I told you when God took me out of my body and took me, I could look down and see my body there. It wasn't my body went, it was my spirit man left. That one pastor I was under one time, she said they come down stairs because her mother always read the Bible every morning at the table with a cup of coffee. You couldn't go into the kitchen. You could see her body sitting there for three, but the glory of God was all around there. And she was there like that for 3 days. And then all of a sudden the glory left. And her mother said, I was just in heaven for 3 days. Her spirit man was in heaven, but her body sat right there at that table. And they could never go into the kitchen. They could just look in there and see her. So it isn't your body that's going to leave according to that. And whenever God took me, it wasn't my body. It was my spirit man. All right. So you could still be sitting at your computer and they would think you was really busy. And all the time you're up in heaven talking to the Father, you know. So however God wants to do it, are you willing for Him to do it? He's saying right now, He wants you to get so full of the grand expectancy of heaven that nothing, absolutely nothing will ever make you not want to go there. So He's trying to get into your spirit man night this great expectancy that He's called a grand expectancy that He's going to come and visit you. Amen. The night God took me, you know, I looked down, my husband laying there sleeping. I was knelt at my bed and my kids were all in bed sleeping. Nobody knew I was going except me, you know. So you could go to bed one night and you and your husband or you and your kids or whatever. And they're thinking you're laying there sleeping all the time. You're up in heaven. That's just your body laying there. See, God's going to do great and wonderful things. I'm excited about this tonight. I'm going to tell you the truth. I read this one. That sounds good. I'm going to give that. I copied it off yesterday morning, and I forgot I hadn't even reread it. And so what God was revealing here tonight, you know, He just revealed to me too. I just knew this is what He wanted me to give. So He's bringing light. Now, are you ready to be the light to a dark, dark world? Even in your job places, God said, your light is going, you want to say a word, your light is just going to draw men to you. You know, men, women, that means women too, kids. Just you be in some place. You won't have to say nothing. Sitting there chewing your gum. And the people's going to be drawn to you. They'll come and start talking to you. I'm hearing God saying he will catch them away too. Because of the anointing that's going to be on you. Because of your visitations. Then I'm hearing just like it did when Jesus come up out of the earth. Excuse me, I got hiccups. And then the dead people rose too. And somebody walking in darkness is dead, right? So if you're around the world, you know, the worldly people, because you've had your visitations with the Father, they're going to go too and have a visitation and come back. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's so glorious. This is one of the most exciting nights I've spent in a long time. Amen. I'm so glad I came into the house of the Lord tonight. Yes. Come on. He's saying you've been talking about chariot rides. You've been talking about the angels, angel dust. He says it's all coming in this season. Amen. And you know, I think about the Bible says that those things aren't for the church, they're for the world. So as you go around, you have angel dust, the gold dust, let's say the gold dust appear in you, and you know, you're talking to somebody unsaved, and all of a sudden you're covered with gold dust. They'll say, what's that stuff all over you? What's that going to do to an unsaved person? And he says, all because of this grand expectancy that I'm building up in your spirit man tonight, that these things are actually going to occur. Years ago, I was always talking about the angels and their feathers and everything. And I went walked out of here with my husband. I said, oh, look, there's a feather. He said, that's a pigeon feather. And so the other night, just the other service here, the ladies were dancing. All of a sudden, this feather came out of one of their flags. landed on the floor. And I looked at Brother Chris, and he bust out laughing. So now I looked at my husband. He started laughing at me. He says, "It's not an angel." But, you know, I'm still expecting to see angel feathers. Amen. Even though it was a pigeon, and I knew that wasn't no angel feather there, but you know, I'm just expecting us to see that kind of stuff. Because this is what God said He's doing. He's bringing heaven to earth. And what's going on up there is going to happen down here. And I don't know about you, but the Lighthouse Church is going to get that. Amen. I've waited too many years not to get that now. I'm not going to be sitting around with some other churches. They got it. Amen.